I think we know. Opportunity, security, liberty, dignity, respect, honor, and yes, the truth. Recent weeks and months have taught us a painful lesson. There is truth and there are lies. Lies told for power and for profit. And each of us has a duty and a responsibility as citizens, as Americans, and especially as leaders. Leaders who have pledged to honor our Constitution and protect our nation, to defend the truth and defeat the lies. Look, I understand that many of my fellow Americans view the future with fear and trepidation. I understand they worry about their jobs. I understand, like my dad, they lay in bed staring at night, staring at the ceiling, wondering, can I keep my health care? Can I pay my mortgage? Thinking about their families, about what comes next. I promise you, I get it. But the answer is not to turn inward, to retreat into competing factions, distrusting those who don't look like you, or worship the way you do, or don't get their news from the same sources you do. We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue, rural versus urban, conservative versus liberal. We can do this if we open our souls instead of hardening our hearts, if we show a little tolerance and humility, and if we're willing to stand in the other person's shoes, as my mom would say, just for a moment, stand in their shoes. Because here's the thing about life. There's no accounting for what fate will deal you. Some days, when you need a hand, there are other days when we're called to lend a hand. That's how it has to be. That's what we do for one another. And if we are this way, our country will be stronger, more prosperous, more ready for the future. And we can still disagree. My fellow Americans, in the work ahead of us, we're going to need each other. We need all our strength to persevere through this dark winter. We're entering what may be the toughest and deadliest period of the virus. We must set aside politics and finally face this pandemic as one nation. One nation. And I promise you this, as the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We will get through this together. Together. Look, folks, all my colleagues I serve with in the House and the Senate up here, we all understand the world is watching all of us today. So here's my message to those beyond our borders. America has been tested, and we've come out stronger for it. We will repair our alliances and engage with the world once again, not to meet yesterday's challenges, but today's and tomorrow's challenges. And we'll lead not merely by the example of our power, but by the power of our example. We'll be a strong and trusted partner for peace, progress, and security. Look, you all know we've been through so much in this nation. And in my first act as president, I'd like to ask you to join me in a moment of silent prayer. Remember all those who we lost this past year to the pandemic, those 400,000 fellow Americans, moms, dads, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, friends, neighbors, and co-workers. We'll honor them by becoming the people and the nation we know we can and should be. So I ask you, let's say a silent prayer for those who've lost their lives and those left behind, and for our country. Amen. Folks, this is a time of testing. We face an attack on our democracy and on truth, a raging virus, growing inequity, the sting of systemic racism, a climate in crisis, America's role in the world. Any one of these would be enough to challenge us in profound ways. But the fact is, we face them all at once, presenting this nation with one of the gravest responsibilities we've had. Now we're going to be tested. Are we going to step up, all of us? It's time for boldness, for there's so much to do. And this is certain. I promise you, we will be judged, you and I, by how we resolve these cascading crises of our era. We will rise to the occasion is the question. Will we master this rare and difficult hour? Will we meet our obligations and pass along a new and better world to our children? I believe we must. I'm sure you do as well. I believe we will. And when we do, we'll write the next great chapter in the history of the United States of America, the American story. A story that might sound something like a song that means a lot to me. It's called American Anthem. There's one verse that stands out, at least for me, and it goes like this. The work and prayers of centuries have brought us to this day. What shall be our legacy? What will our children say? Let me know in my heart when my days are through. America, America, I gave my best to you. Let us add our own work and prayers to the unfolding story of our great nation. If we do this, then when our days are through, our children and our children's children will say of us, they gave their best. They did their duty. They healed a broken land. My fellow Americans, I close the day where I began with the sacred oath. Before God and all of you, I give you my word. I will always level with you. I will defend the Constitution. I'll defend our democracy. I'll defend America. And I'll give all of you, keep everything I do in your service, thinking not of power, but of possibilities, not of personal interest, but the public good. And together we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness, a story of decency and dignity, love and healing, greatness and goodness. May this be the story that guides us, the story that inspires us, and the story that tells ages yet to come that we answered the call of history. We met the moment. Democracy and hope, truth and justice did not die in our watch but thrive. That America secured liberty at home and stood once again as a beacon to the world. That is what we owe our forebears, one another, and generation to follow. So, with purpose and resolve, we turn to those tasks of our time. Sustained by faith, driven by conviction, and devoted to one another and the country we love with all our hearts. May God bless America, and may God protect our troops. Thank you, America.
Okay, so those were
WMNF at 8.5 FM. This is Midpoint News and Talk with your host, Nola. Yes, it is January 20, 2021, and you just listened to the first national address as the President of the United States, President Joe Biden. This is WMNF 8.5 FM, Midpoint News and Talk. Big shout out to Jessica Green, who's a phone engineer today. If you have any thoughts, feel free to call in. Phone number is 813-239-9663. What are your thoughts after 4 years of the Trump presidency and a new era of the Joe Biden presidency? A bunch of people have their thoughts there. If you have Feel free to send a text, 813-433-0885. Or you can send me an email to dj@wmnf.org. Later on in the program, I'll try to play some of the other notable inaugural addresses from JFK. I also have one from Barack Obama. And the former president actually made a speech, a short speech from Joint Andrews Base this morning. And if we have some time there, we'll play that a little bit later. But yes, for those who missed the previous broadcast on their wonderful Radioactivity with Rob Loray, here's a little piece. Here's Vice President Kamala Harris, the first Black American woman, South Asian woman, to be Vice President of the United States of America. There are some things that actually happen, especially personally, that you never know how you feel until they happen. Because those things have never happened before. In some ways, you're inspired. In some ways, you're in disbelief. And in some ways, sometimes you expect it because you see it coming. But you just never know how it makes you feel. I can't imagine what it's like for young women out there, or all women out there, for this day to see for the first time that the Vice President of the United States of America is a woman. That you could turn around and look at every woman, every young girl, every college student, female college student, every woman in this country that, yes, it is possible. That it is a place in the highest form of government for women in this country. That is something to be proud of. That is something to be proud of. That after 4 years, and I have notes from the current president's address, and he talked about how democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. But today, democracy prevailed. There is a lot to be proud of. There are a whole bunch of people. 2 weeks ago today. 2 weeks ago. Thousands of insurrectionists tried to derail democracy. Try to stand in the way of certifying the Electoral College. But democracy prevailed. And that is something to be proud of right here in the United States of America. Now, I think I will remember that those words. Democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. But so far, it seems like democracy has prevailed. For those who missed it, here's the swearing-in of the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Take a listen.
What you are all about to be part of, America, is a historic moment of firsts. To administer the oath to our first African-American, our first Asian-American, and our first woman Vice President, Kamala Harris, it is my great privilege to welcome to the inaugural stage the first Latina to ever serve on the Supreme Court of the United States of America, Justice Sonia Sotomayor.
Ladies and gentlemen, please remain standing for the oath of office, followed by musical honors.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, Kamala Davy Harris, do solemnly swear.
I, Kamala Davy Harris, do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
Without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
That I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office on which I am about to enter.
The duties of the office upon which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
All right.
For the first time in the history of the United States of America, the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, a woman of Black and Asian descent. History in the making, January 20, 2021. What are your thoughts about today? What comes to your mind? 813-239-9663. One of the great things about hosting this show every Wednesday is to gauge the temperature of our environment, of our community, of what people are feeling, if it means much to you, or if it doesn't mean anything at all. What are your thoughts? 813-239-9663. And for those who missed it, here is Joe Biden's address to the nation as president.
Chief Justice Roberts, Vice President Harris, Speaker Pelosi, Leader Schumer, Leader McConnell, Vice President Pence, my distinguished guests, my fellow Americans, this is America's day. This is democracy's day, a day of history and hope, of renewal and resolve. Through a crucible for the ages, America has been tested anew, and America has risen to the challenge. Today, we celebrate the triumph not of a candidate, but of a cause, the cause of democracy. The people, the will of the people has been heard, and the will of the people has been heeded. We've learned again that democracy is precious. Democracy is fragile. And at this hour, my friends, democracy has prevailed. So now, on this hallowed ground where just a few days ago, violence sought to shake the Capitol's very foundation, we come together as one nation, under God, indivisible, to carry out the peaceful transfer of power as we have for more than two centuries. As we look ahead in our uniquely American way, restless, bold, optimistic, and set our sights on the nation we know we can be and we must be. I thank my predecessors of both parties for their presence here today. I thank them from the bottom of my heart, and I know the resilience of our Constitution and the strength of our nation, as does President Carter, who I spoke with last night, who cannot be with us today, but whom we salute for his lifetime and service. I've just taken the sacred oath each of those patriots have taken, the oath first sworn by George Washington. But the American story depends not on any one of us, not on some of us, but on all of us, on we the people who seek a more perfect union. This is a great nation. We are good people. And over the centuries, through storm and strife, in peace and in war, we've come so far. But we still have far to go. We'll press forward with speed and urgency, for we have much to do in this winter of peril, and significant possibilities. Much to repair, much to restore, much to heal, much to build, and much to gain. Few people in our nation's history have been more challenged or found a time more challenging or difficult than the time we're in now. Once-in-a-century virus that silently stalks the country has taken as many lives in 1 year as America lost in all of World War II. Millions of jobs have been lost. Hundreds of thousands of businesses closed. A cry for racial justice, some 400 years in the making, moves us. The dream of justice for all will be deferred no longer. A cry for survival comes from the planet itself, a cry that can't be any more desperate or any more clear. And now, a rise of political extremism, white supremacy, domestic terrorism, that we must confront and we will defeat. To overcome these challenges, to restore the soul and secure the future of America, requires so much more than words. It requires the most elusive of all things in a democracy, unity. Unity. In another January, on New Year's Day in 1863, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. When he put pen to paper, the president said, and I quote, "If my name ever goes down into history, it'll be for this act, and my whole soul is in it." My whole soul is in it. Today, on this January day, my whole soul is in this. Bringing America together, uniting our people, uniting our nation. And I ask every American to join me in this cause. Uniting to fight the foes we face, anger, resentment and hatred, extremism, lawlessness, violence, disease, joblessness and hopelessness. With unity, we can do great things, important things. We can right wrongs. We can put people to work in good jobs. We can teach our children in safe schools. We can overcome the deadly virus. We can reward work and rebuild the middle class and make health care secure for all. We can deliver racial justice and we can make America once again the leading force for good in the world. I know speaking of unity can sound to some like a foolish fantasy these days. I know the forces that divide us are deep and they are real. But I also know they are not new. Our history has been a constant struggle between the American ideal that we're all are created equal and the harsh, ugly reality that racism, nativism, fear, demonization have long torn us apart. The battle is perennial, and victory is never assured. Through Civil War, the Great Depression, World War, 9/11, through struggle, sacrifice, and setbacks, our better angels have always prevailed. In each of these moments, enough of us have come together to carry all of us forward. And we can do that now. History, faith, and reason show the way of unity. We can see each other not as adversaries, but as neighbors. We can treat each other with dignity and respect. We can join forces, stop the shouting, and lower the temperature. For without unity, there is no peace, only bitterness and fury, no progress. Only exhausting outrage. No nation, only a state of chaos. This is our historic moment of crisis and challenge. And unity is the path forward. And we must meet this moment as the United States of America. If we do that, I guarantee you we will not fail. We have never, ever, ever, ever failed in America. We've acted together. And so today, at this time, in this place, let's start afresh, all of us. Let's begin to listen to one another again, hear one another, see one another, show respect to one another. Politics doesn't have to be a raging fire, destroying everything in its path. Every disagreement doesn't have to be a cause for total war. And we must reject the culture in which facts themselves are manipulated and even manufactured. My fellow Americans, we have to be different than this. America has to be better than this. And I believe America is so much better than this. Just look around. Here we stand in the shadow of the Capitol Dome, as was mentioned earlier, completed amid the Civil War, when the Union itself was literally hanging in the balance. Yet we endured. We prevailed. Here we stand, looking out on the Great Mall, where Dr. King spoke of his dream. Here we stand, where 108 years ago, at another inaugural, thousands of protesters tried to block brave women marching for the right to vote. And today, we mark the swearing-in of the first woman in American history elected to national office, Vice President Kamala Harris. Don't tell me things can't change. Here we stand, across the Potomac from Arlington Cemetery, where heroes who gave the last full measure of devotion rest in eternal peace. And here we stand, just days after a riotous mob thought they could use violence to silence the will of the people, to stop the work of our democracy, to drive us from this sacred ground. It did not happen. It will never happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. Not ever. To all those who supported our campaign, I'm humbled by the faith you've placed in us. To all those who did not support us, let me say this. Hear me out as we move forward. Take a measure of me and my heart. And if you still disagree, so be it. That's democracy. That's America. The right to dissent peaceably within the guardrails of our republic is perhaps this nation's greatest strength. Yet hear me clearly. Disagreement must not lead to disunion. And I pledge this to you. I will be a president for all Americans. All Americans. And I promise you, I will fight as hard for those who did not support me as for those who did. Many centuries ago, St. Augustine, a saint of my church, wrote that a people was a multitude defined by the common objects of their love. Defined by the common objects of their love. What are the common objects we as Americans love that define us as Americans? I think we know. Opportunity, security, liberty, dignity, respect, honor, and yes, the truth. Recent weeks and months have taught us a painful lesson. There is truth and there are lies. Lies told for power and for profit. And each of us has a duty and a responsibility as citizens, as Americans, and especially as leaders, leaders who have pledged to honor our Constitution and protect our nation, to defend the truth and defeat the lies. Look, I understand that many of my fellow Americans view the future with fear and trepidation. I understand they worry about their jobs. I understand, like my dad, they lay abed staring at night, staring at the ceiling, wondering, can I keep my health care? Can I pay my mortgage? Thinking about their families, about what comes next. I promise you, I get it. But the answer is not to turn inward, to retreat into competing factions, distrusting those who don't look like you, or worship the way you do, or don't get their news from the same sources you do. We must end this uncivil war that pits red against blue, rural versus urban, conservative versus liberal. We can do this if we open our souls instead of hardening our hearts, if we show a little tolerance and humility, and if we're willing to stand in the other person's shoes, as my mom would say, just for a moment, stand in their shoes. Because here's the thing about life. There's no accounting for what fate will deal you. Some days, when you need a hand, there are other days when we're called to lend a hand. That's how it has to be. That's what we do for one another. And if we are this way, our country will be stronger, more prosperous, more ready for the future. And we can still disagree. My fellow Americans, in the work ahead of us, we're going to need each other. We need all our strength to persevere through this dark winter. We're entering what may be the toughest and deadliest period of the virus. We must set aside politics and finally face this pandemic as one nation. One nation. And I promise you this, as the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We will get through this together. Together. Look, folks, all my colleagues I serve with in the House and the Senate up here, we all understand the world is watching all of us today. So here's my message to those beyond our borders. America has been tested, and we've come out stronger for it. We will repair our alliances and engage with the world once again, not to meet yesterday's challenges, but today's and tomorrow's challenges. And we'll lead not merely by the example of our power, but by the power of our example. We'll be a strong and trusted partner for peace, progress, and security. Look, you all know, we've been through so much in this nation. And in my first act as president, I'd like to ask you to join me in a moment of silent prayer. Remember all those who we lost in this past year to the pandemic, those 400,000 fellow Americans, moms, dads, husbands, wives, sons, daughters, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. We'll honor them for becoming the people and the nation we know we can and should be. So I ask you, let's say a silent prayer for those who've lost their lives and those left behind, and for our country. Amen. Folks, this is a time of testing. We face an attack on our democracy and on truth, a raging virus, growing inequity, the sting of systemic racism, a climate in crisis, America's role in the world. Any one of these would be enough to challenge us in profound ways. But the fact is, we face them all at once, presenting this nation with one of the gravest responsibilities we've had. Now we're going to be tested. Are we going to step up, all of us? It's time for boldness, for there's so much to do. And this is certain. I promise you, we will be judged, you and I, by how we resolve these cascading crises of our era. We will rise to the occasion is the question. Will we master this rare and difficult hour? Will we meet our obligations and pass along a new and better world to our children? I believe we must. I'm sure you do as well. I believe we will. And when we do, we'll write the next great chapter in the history of the United States of America, the American story. A story that might sound something like a song that means a lot to me. It's called American Anthem. There's one verse that stands out, at least for me, and it goes like this. The work and prayers of century have brought us to this day. What shall be our legacy? What will our children say? Let me know in my heart when my days are through. America, America, I gave my best to you. Let us add our own work and prayers to the unfolding story of our great nation. If we do this, then when our days are through, our children and our children's children will say of us, they gave their best, they did their duty, they healed a broken land. My fellow Americans, I close the day where I began with the sacred oath. Before God and all of you, I give you my word. I will always level with you. I will defend the Constitution. I'll defend our democracy. I'll defend America. And I'll give all of you, keep everything I do in your service, thinking not of power, but of possibilities, not of personal interest, but the public good. And together we shall write an American story of hope, not fear, of unity, not division, of light, not darkness, a story of decency and dignity, love and healing, greatness and goodness. May this be the story that guides us, the story that inspires us, and the story that tells ages yet to come that we answered the call of history. We met the moment. Democracy and hope, truth and justice did not die in our watch but thrive. That America secured liberty at home and stood once again as a beacon to the world. That is what we owe our forebears, one another, and generation to follow. So, with purpose and resolve, we turn to those tasks of our time. Sustained by faith, driven by conviction, and devoted to one another and the country we love with all our hearts. May God bless America, and may God protect our troops. Thank you, America.
WMNF at 8.5 FM. This is Midpoint News in Talk with your host, Nola. And those are the words of the 46th President of the United States, Joseph R. Biden Jr. Your thoughts? 813-239-9663. I got some text messages. 813-433-0885 for text messages. And I'll read some of them. This is from Liz from early on. Crying tears of joy as our country has survived. I couldn't believe it until it actually happened. We survived the most fascist authoritarian figure ever known to this country. He is truly and will forever be known as our Benedict Arnold. In solidarity, that's Liz from Spring Hill. And Ted from Alfred goes, ding dong, the traitor's gone. From Patrick, Patrick goes, we survived. Now beginning in 2022, let's run off a bunch of white men from the halls of Congress and in state houses, legislatures across the land. He goes, I'm a white boy and I'm tired of us running this country into the G-damn ditch. Signed, thankfully, unnuked in the last hour of power. Signed, Patrick. From Lou from Plant City goes, Nola, it was wonderful to hear President Biden's speech. Now the hard work begins. I'm cautiously optimistic and incredibly happy. That's from Lou from Plant City. Now go Steve. Steve goes, hello, Nola. We're post by Trump Standard Time. Request David Bowie's We Can Be Heroes. The Long March started on the 21st of January 2017 with a Women's March and continues as we struggle for a more perfect union. We must get into trouble, in quotes, John Lewis. That's from Steve. Great observation, great commentary out there. Keep them coming. 813-433-0885 text message. Let's get to the phone lines. Let me get some phone calls here. Let's go to Camellia from Clearwater. Hey, Camellia. Good afternoon. Welcome to the show, Camellia.
Hi, thoughts. Darling.
Hi, how are you?
I want to start by saying that I watched the memorial last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get emotional. I lost my mother to COVID in September.
I'm so sorry about that.
Thank you. And my oldest sister never got to wrap her arms around my mother. And because they were separated when my sister was given up for adoption. And it was a video funeral. And I felt this whole time that the victims of COVID were not being recognized, were not being honored, not even acknowledged. And it felt so good that the nation had a chance to pause and acknowledge and grieve. It was huge. And then with the inauguration, you know, I had to catch parts of it, you know, on my drive to lunch. And, you know, listening to President Biden's speech gave me hope, because I know that he will be a resounding call for unity over and over and over, and hopefully, you know, help us repair as a country. There was so many messages of division and divisiveness being driven over and over and over for the past 4 years. And I'm looking forward to that message of unity and togetherness and community being spoken of over and over and over for the next 4 and maybe 8 years. And it just gives me hope, and it makes my heart glad. And I just want to encourage everyone that listens to set all the differences aside, and let's see how we can make this world a better place together.
Mm. Powerful words on behalf of our community, on behalf of this radio station, WMNF 88.5 FM. We do send our condolences to you and your family for your tremendous loss. And we hope we send our prayers to you and your family to help you cope from days to come. We know the journey is going to be hard, but we have you in our prayers.
Thank you so much. God bless you guys, and God bless America.
God bless you. And that is an important point, because yesterday was the first time, for the first time in pretty much almost a full year now, that the country had been dealing with this pandemic, that it seemed like the nation took a pause to recognize the pain that the family of the victims of COVID had been through. And I remember my girlfriend got out of the shower yesterday, and I made that point. And I said, I think it's the first time that somebody just said, you know what, we pray for the victims, a leader in our politics. And she said, yeah, that is so true. And it says a lot. Like, in the coming days, we're going to be talking about the differences and policy differences of what the incoming the new administration is supposed to take care of, and what they do wrong, and how we hold them accountable. But regardless of where you are, what side of the aisle you are, you got to admit that the tone is a little different, that you feel a swarm of restoration of empathy for those who have been through so much, so much. Those people are not coming back. Those that died are not coming back. Now, Does any government has the magic wand? But can we in true fashion say the last administration did all it could? All it could to tackle COVID-19. Coronavirus. So yes, for those victims out there, and if I haven't, because I think I've tried to address it, to bring people over here to talk about COVID. But who knows if we could have done more if we had great leadership. But I do empathize with all the family out there. We all know somebody. For those victims out there, for family, so of those who have had lost people with COVID. My mother is 71. And I can't tell you how many times I am nervous. And she's a nurse. Still, won't stop working because of her spirit. That she wants to keep helping people at the front lines at 71. So you can imagine, till today, how I feel about the coronavirus. So yes, when I hear that caller, I'm glad at least we have a leader that acknowledges, seems to acknowledge that this is important. This is important. WMNF 88.5 FM, this is Midpoint News and Talk with your host Nola. And for the last few minutes, I had a little piece just to go back to the inauguration of Barack Obama. And if you have any thoughts about it, 813-239-9663. But until then, take a listen.
Our economy is badly weakened, a consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, but also our collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age. Homes have been lost, jobs shed, businesses shuttered. Our health care is too costly, our schools fail too many, and each day brings further evidence that the ways we use energy strengthen our adversaries and threaten our planet. These are the indicators of crisis, subject to data and statistics. Less measurable, but no less profound, is a sapping of confidence across our land. A nagging fear that America's decline is inevitable, that the next generation must lower its sights. Today, I say to you that the challenges we face are real. They are serious and they are many. They will not be met easily or in a short span of time. But know this, America, they will be met. On this day, we gather because we have chosen hope over fear, unity of purpose over conflict and discord. On this day, we come to proclaim an end to the petty grievances and false promises, the recriminations and worn-out dogmas that for far too long have strangled our politics. We remain a young nation, but in the words of Scripture, the time has come to set aside childish things. The time has come to reaffirm our enduring spirit, to choose our better history, to carry forward that precious gift, that noble idea passed on from generation to generation, the God-given promise that all are equal, all are free, and all deserve a chance to pursue their full measure of happiness.
That was a piece from the inauguration of 12 years ago for President Obama. The tone, optimism, looking forward, you know, hoping for the best. We took it for granted. It seems like we took it for granted. But this is what you come to expect from your president. Preaching positivity. Not trying to divide and blame. That's what you expect from a leader. regardless of their policies, regardless of what side of the aisle they are in. Quick text message from Charles in Tampa. Charles goes, the math is clear, Nola. 4% of the world's population in this country, 20% of the world's deaths from COVID. This former president is directly responsible for at least 80% of our deaths. So that's from Charles in Tampa. That's what Charles thinks. Let's take a listen to a little piece of the inaugural address from President Kennedy.
Signifying renewal as well as change. For I have sworn before you and Almighty God the same solemn oath our forebears prescribed nearly a century and three quarters ago. The world is very different now, for man holds in his mortal hands the power to abolish all forms of human poverty and all forms of human life. And yet the same revolutionary beliefs for which our forebears fought are still at issue around the globe. The belief that the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. We dare not forget today that we are the heirs of that first revolution. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed and to which we are committed today at home and around the world. Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and the success of liberty. This much we pledge and more. To those old allies whose cultural and spiritual origins we share, we pledge the loyalty of faithful friends. United, there is little we cannot do in a host of cooperative ventures. Divided, there is little we can do, for we dare not meet a powerful challenge at odds and split asunder. To those new states whom we welcome to the ranks of the free, we pledge our word that one form of colonial control shall not have passed away merely to be replaced by a far more iron tyranny. We shall not always expect to find them supporting our view, but we shall always hope to find them strongly supporting their own freedom, and to remember that in the past, those who foolishly sought power by riding the back of the tiger ended up inside. To those people in the huts and villages of half the globe struggling to break the bonds of mass misery, we pledge our best efforts to help them help themselves. For whatever period is required, not because the communists may be doing it, not because we seek their votes, but because it is right.
The words are of former President JFK Kennedy, John F. Kennedy. Stay tuned for NPR News. We'll be back better than ever next week, Wednesday. This is WMN.